Yeah, Elena is very sudden, very conservative. But some reason, especially the barbecue society, they're strong in their pride. But we became like number one barbecue in Atlanta. We shocked everybody. Like, oh my God, I was shocked too. Like, oh my God, really? People really embrace that different. I think that's the great things about American culture. They embrace.
Welcome to Get Down with K-Town. I'm your host, Esther Choi. As I was doing research on today's guest, I literally got sidetracked for hours just digging into her history. I cannot believe it, but I have Jiyeon Lee, or in Korean, Lee Jiyeon, a Korean pop singer from the 80s. And I had her music playing on the background all night, and I still have your songs, like, stuck in my head. And I have, like, a real deep connection with, like, K-pop music from the 80s and 90s, probably because, like, I grew up listening to it. Mm-hmm. My favorite K-pop singer of all time is Lee Munse. And for some reason, I really appreciate Korean music from this era. It's a little different than obviously the K-pop that you listen to now. So guys, if you haven't listened to like 80s and 90s Korean music, like you have to. Jiyeon, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited.
I mean, so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. I mean, if you can hear it, her voice is just angelic. And and that's what you were like known for, like your angelic face, your angelic voice.
Not anymore.
I mean, still now.
Used to be.
So I have so much respect for you because, well, your story is crazy. And while I was doing research last night, I literally ended up spending like hours just like listening to your music, you know, watching your concerts from the 80s. I don't know if you know this, but you can find it all on YouTube. Uh-huh. I was like literally watching and I was like,
people
oh my
sending
gosh.
Me sometime. Yeah. Yeah.
They send it to you. I mean, it's so cute. I mean, some of your songs mm-hmm. are like illustrious. It's like so celebrated even now. Mm-hmm. And I remember even though it was one generation before me, I remember like listening to your songs mm-hmm. when I was like 5 years old. Mm-hmm. Some of the songs, it's 난 아직 사랑 몰라. 바람아 멈춰다오.
OST for one of very popular the movie too.
Was it which movie was it again?
어린 신부.
Oh yeah. That's
little,
how I know it.
Bride?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Little Bride with Moon Geun-young.
Uh-huh. So people think it's the younger generation think Moon Geun-young is the singer.
Uh-huh. But no, it originated from you.
Yes,
right. It was your original song that they recreated and put it into the movie. I mean, it's wild for me. So I start this interview with this because I just needed to stress the shock when I heard, when I actually started digging deep into who you were. Of course, like I heard about, you know, a K-pop singer who decided to leave her career to become a chef. Mm-hmm. And she's in Atlanta. I heard about who you were. I just didn't know, like, who you are. I was like, okay, sure. But like, guys, she was like the K-pop star in the 80s. Like, it's equivalent to like Cheongha or like Taeyeon or like BoA, Yeohyori, these types of K-pop singers. But she was like the equivalent of that in the 80s. Let's say for American pop artists to compare, like maybe Britney Spears or Taylor Swift or like now Ariana Grande. That was like you in the 80s.
That's what people say, but I didn't really feel like that though.
I mean,
back then.
Why do you not feel like that? Is it because it was just so long ago?
I had a lot of anti-fan too. I had a lot of fans and pretty much equally anti-fans too.
Why?
I think my character was like, innocent, high school girl. All the boys loves me. Mm-hmm. So
that was like your girl's image.
Yeah, uh-huh. Girls was jealous. And so I always feel like I have a lot of haters. Uh-huh. You know, so I didn't really feel like, I'm so famous. I felt I was famous, but I didn't feel like I'm popular. You know,
it's a different thing.
It's a different thing. Mm-hmm. But now I feel it. Now, like, a lot of people, like old fans, and even like when I go to Korean grocery store and somebody like almost my age or a little younger age, and they're like, oh my God,
Jiyeon! They recognize you.
Uh-huh. And then, can I take a photo? And, okay, I was okay, I was popular.
You're like, oh, okay, I guess I was popular. No, so like when you were growing up as this like K-pop idol, you mm-hmm. were the first one of your kind in Korea, right?
Me and Kim Wan-sun.
Kim Wan-sun, yeah, you guys were...
Yeah, we were kind of rivals.
Direct rivals.
I was honored to be her rival though, because she was so big.
She was
I was in middle school when she were... her first album came out.
Okay, so she was... She came out first, and mm-hmm. then you came out, and then you
I
guys
came out
kind
like
of,
2 years later.
Okay, mm-hmm. and then you guys were kind of at that point where it was just you versus Kim Wan-sun. She's obviously she's like a
oh,
huge.
Oh, she's amazing. We are really close friends, and she's only 1 year older than me.
Uh-huh.
She's amazing person, and I'm still a big fan of her. Her dancing and her music is amazing. But the media always. They want some sort of like drama, right? They create their rival kind of situation. Maybe that's why I got a lot of haters too, mm-hmm. because of that. And I was like high school girl, just overnight I become like a Cinderella. And
you were how old?
I was 17.
17?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you, how did that even happen? Like they found you at a talent show, something like that?
Actually, I started the modeling for Teen Magazine first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I had I was also the vocal in a high school band.
Mm-hmm.
And my band visited one of the professional musicians, the practice mm-hmm. studio. And the producer asked me, like, oh, so what do you do in your band? So I said, I'm a vocal. And he asked me to sing. So I sang. And then he asked me later, like, do you want to be a singer? I was like, I don't know. when I was little, I always wanted to be a TV personality mm-hmm. or model or something like that. I never thought I could be a singer because mm-hmm. singer Kim Wan-sun, I guess from her, Korea changed audio to video.
Mm-hmm.
So uh-huh. they need a visual entertainers.
They need a face to the face, to
yes.
the to the to match the mm-hmm. voice.
So but before there was all the singers like Jo Young-pil,
Lee Min-se,
of course. I'm a big fan of him,
He's
too.
Such a huge fan.
And female chefs like Lee Sun-hee, mm-hmm. and it's all like really like amazing vocalists. And I was this high school girl, just, you know, have this innocent voice. I wasn't really like great, like, I still think I'm not that great. So I never thought like, oh, I could be a singer. So when I get that offer, like, I don't know. And I go to, I talk to my mom and my parents, and they was freaked out. And they're like, oh, my God. They think is I'm going some, like, what do you get?
Oh, I don't know that word. Wow, that's a hard word.
What do you get mean is, like, kind of service woman
okay.
kind of
mm-hmm.
industry.
Oh, because,
you know?
Like, okay.
Because back then it's...
Like, this is the
entertainer.
Really,
they call like, tantara.
Okay.
And, you know, they didn't get much respect.
Because pop stars didn't really exist.
We didn't have that.
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
We were kind of beginning of that. Right now, if their kids so talented, and actually parents pushing them to be, go to audition or something, but in my generation, it's totally different story.
So they freaked out because they thought you were going to sing in front of like these old men.
Maybe
at
clubs
or
something
bars.
Like
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
were so worried about it. So, but they visited the company and the recording company, meet with the CEO and they, okay, maybe
just give
we'll
it a
see.
Try.
And
yeah.
I was very shy one. I'm very introverted person. Mm-hmm. So my parents didn't think like, do you always so shy? They know I have a good voice, but they never thought I can perform in front of a lot of people. And so they didn't believe in me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But did you believe in yourself?
I was mm-hmm. so young and I was just like, oh my God, you know.
It sounds exciting.
Finally, I'm going to be famous, you know. And I want, because I wanted to be, I wanted to be famous. I mean, that back then is maybe I was a little crazy one, consider, because other my friends, classmates, they like, oh, what do you want to be when you when you get older? Everybody like, oh, I want a good housewife. Mm-hmm. That's the most answer back then. Or teachers, mm-hmm. some maybe like doctor, but especially the female. Mostly like, oh, you graduate high school, maybe go to college, mm-hmm. but immediate you getting married and be a good housewife. That's the society wanted, the of Korean course. Woman, you know, back then. But I always like, I want to be something. I don't know. I wasn't sure what I'm capable, but I always dream. I'm still I have that. Still I have a lot of imaginations. Uh-huh. I'm a visionary. Yeah. I vision a lot. And it was like that. So I was like, okay, this maybe, you know, like, oh, because I started motoring and I really enjoyed it. Maybe singing, you know, whatever they gave me the song and I just practiced and sing. But I didn't really enjoy it.
Went for it, and you became this icon, mm-hmm. Korean sensation, Korean pop star, probably more than you even expected, right? Mm-hmm. But you didn't like it.
I did like it probably for...
At least the beginning, right?
I love to be on a stage, mm-hmm. and I love recording the new songs. I love that creativity.
Mm-hmm. You like the music.
Because mm-hmm. I grew up with older cousins and listening pop songs and early age. Mm-hmm. So music was so important to me. So creating some music is this amazing thing. But the other thing, the behind scene of performing, sometimes you have to, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but like, okay, if some like some powerful producer, and I should go their kid's birthday party to sing, you know, that uh-huh. kind of thing was kind of commonly.
It was expected of you.
Like that back then. So it's kind of like.
Well, you had to like always kind of like serve the upper.
Exactly.
Executives.
And then have to. I don't know why, I don't even know what the reason, but I have to always kind of like, kind of ask something, you know. I'm a performer, and it's not, you know.
What do you mean by ask? Like, what kind of stuff did you have to ask for?
I mean, this is society, that the industry, just like, there's a powerful group of people on top there. Mm-hmm. And then people, the news beginning, you start, people, whatever they ask, like, hey, my kid's birthday, and can you sing? And I have to. There's no. So it's always kind of like feel like I'm an artist, but I don't feel like artist.
You're like a puppet.
Exactly.
And that's how you felt.
Whatever the company say, oh, you do this, and you gotta be on this show, or. Sometime singing at the club and, you know.
So you still have to do stuff like
that. I hate it, you know, hate it. Even though I was so popular, it don't matter. I'm glad I quit a long time ago at a younger age.
So, like, you didn't get to dictate your career at all. It was dictated by the executives,
yes,
your producer.
Yes, of course, yeah. And
And you were young, too.
I was too young to raise my voice, first of all. And the society always ask, like, you got to be humble. I mean, humble and a raising voice is different thing, mm-hmm. right? But people, like, when you raise voice, people think, oh, this girl kind of, like, snobby or arrogant or, oh, she talked too much.
Difficult
or, you know,
to work with.
Exactly, you know. But... that's not my personality. Even though I was young, but I have a gut, you know. I fight for. I grew up poor family, and I got this opportunity, and I was fighting to get something. But for me, important thing is, I mean, right now I'm cooking. It's the same thing. To me, it's like all about, I love doing singing, or I love cooking. It's got to be all about, this is what I like to do, and this is what I put all my passion and effort. But there are other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not really necessary, but it's judging by attitude, or judging by how I look, or, you know, this all kinds of like,
yep.
Noise. To me, it's a noisy. So it bothers me a lot, though.
So you had a lot of pressure to do all these other things, and you had a lot of societal pressures, mm-hmm. from whether it be like anti-hate fans, mm-hmm. or whatever made you quit this whole industry. It was because of not the actual, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. act of singing, because that you loved. And performing, you love that. But it was everything else that made you, like, pushed you to the edge.
So those accumulated stress. I couldn't enjoy singing. I couldn't enjoy being on a stage.
Because you were so stressed out.
Very stressed out.
When did this stress start happening? Like, how long were you into your career?
There was kind of like, you know, and people think it's like, okay, a famous person, oh, you have to deal with this. I mean, you're famous, you make money, and, you know, all other gossips or whatever, you need to deal with it. That's what people think. But we are human beings. You know, we're not puppets, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a doll.
You have emotions.
Exactly. But I have that constantly, the emotionally feels like attacked by something that, not me, actually. Like, the image people created, and they want me to be that character, the image, for a long time. But can you imagine, like, my age back then? I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of,
and you were the first
emotional
one. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like,
emotionally, you don't even know actually what you really, really want that age, you know? There's a lot of confusions. And the body changes, especially women, and all the hormones and all that.
Teenager.
You know, teenager. But I gotta be Jiyeon Lee, that company created.
That is perfect.
Perfect. But if not, if I don't act or something, not, people think it's not perfect, and then I'm kind of like, oh, you know, I got judged so much.
You got judged, and you probably felt like beat down by that.
Yeah.
Constantly. As a teenage girl.
Yeah, and there are a lot of rumors that, like, it really hurt my feeling. If something I did, then I would apologize, like, hey, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. But if something, like, people create, you know, like, mm-hmm. a fake news back,
yeah,
then.
Rumors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tabloids.
Then, like, I want to just, how do I prove this, you know?
The fact of the matter is, you can't.
It can't. I, yeah, no way. Because people try to, you know, like, oh, the interviews or, you know, whatever, try hard. But people believe whatever they want to believe.
Yeah.
And it's rumors. It becomes the fact, you know. But I have 자존심.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
자존심, what is English? Pride? Maybe I'm too strong for that. Just like, no, I think it's not like it's pride, but it's like
자존심이 세다.
Uh-huh. 자존심.
Yeah, a strong sense of pride in yourself.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it keep hurting my pride. Like, I'm not that person, mm-hmm. you know. I'm not perfect, but I'm a good person.
Yeah.
And I work hard. And I practice a lot. I go to school. I have had to finish the school, too, and do the work, too. And that judgmental all the time, constantly judged by people was, I think I got really sick mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And physically, mm-hmm. too. I was, yeah. like, back then I was, like, 87 pounds.
It's crazy.
I know.
So you were mm-hmm. beat down emotionally, mm-hmm. and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And it drove you to the edge, mm-hmm. and eventually you completely left that
career. Completely. That was like the only way I feel like
But don't you
I gotta
have to,
run away.
Didn't you have to like sign a very long contract, or did that not exist back then?
There was a contract, but it was a very unfair contract. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason the law protect that contract, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Of course. Yeah, it's very not unfair. About you. The contract mm-hmm. is about the company, yeah. not about you. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I quit. And I met somebody, I fell in love like crazy because I needed some like some sort of like umbrella. Mm-hmm. I wanted to hide. Mm-hmm. So then my decision made, I mean, I don't want to say like my decision was wrong because...
There's no wrong answer in
no,
life.
No, it was like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I divorced with him, but, you know.
That was in Korea, though.
We moved to Atlanta together, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay.
I had 18 years marriage with him.
Okay,
so my wow. one-third of my life with him. So there's a lot of good memories. There's some lot of, not a bad memories, but it's just different.
Yeah, yeah.
Very different. But back then, I didn't have that, because mentally, I wasn't capable to make a right decision or see people right.
Yeah, because you know? You felt like they were probably looking at you like mm-hmm. some sort of like prize
mm-hmm.
or they wanted something from you, right? It was probably constantly like that because you were also very young.
Very young. Mm-hmm. So I was in freshman in college.
Yeah.
And I drop everything, I just run away.
Okay, so before we get into the second part of your life, which obviously is the mm-hmm. most fascinating mm-hmm. part, I do want to ask you this one question about what you think about the K-pop scene now, because I feel like the similar things that you went through, mm-hmm. these kids, these K-pop stars, even now, are probably...
A lot of suicide and...
Going through the same thing.
I know.
That's the industry of K-pop in Korea, right?
It broke my heart every time I hear the news, and because I feel them so deeply, how
the
pain.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The pain. Maybe I was like, to prove me, like, I'm not that Jian Li. You know, guys, I'm just...
You're human.
Yeah, I'm a human. So when I see, the industry has totally changed.
But has it really? But I guess that's my question.
I think the society, it's not about just music industry. Society, mm-hmm. very judgmental society. The mentality is still there. I mean, I really admire the new generations. They are so much open-minded. Very creative, but older generations always, they're judging so much mm-hmm. that create that chaos. And all the young kids, can you imagine that those K-pop stars raise as a performer?
Exactly.
Since young.
They're children.
Yeah, they're children. Mm-hmm. And their mind is just stuck. I was same thing. I'm aging from my teenage time to I'm aging to like college girl, but
mentality
feel like
wise, you're
just
stuck.
I'm still there, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm just stuck there. So these kids are, I can imagine how they deal with all those pressures, and of course, they make a lot more money now. But you know,
yeah.
you see all those things, not just the music industry, some like rich people, or when we see like, oh my God, they probably have everything. But some people quit their life. Why? You know? Mm-hmm. Because we all human beings. People don't think, people just see that image of, oh, rich people, or the famous singer, or famous actor, or whatever. They just see them as just... When they open the laptop and they can see these people, like
they see
not
the
rear.
Lights, the shining, the armor. Mm-hmm. They see the positive mm-hmm. side of all things, but of course, there's always a negative side to the positive,
yeah.
And that's like that hidden darkness that most people mm-hmm. cannot see.
And I always tell people, like, hey, like entertainers, the artist. I don't know what it's in English, but they are kind of torais, right?
Psychos.
Yeah, they have that. That's why they are artists. They are different. But society, expect them to be a perfect person. You can't get a tickets or DUI or whatever
things,
right?
When it happens,
right?
It's like these major scandals. Like,
is they try to kill them, you know? They're not just average, just normal people. If something happens, it's happened, it's happened. But for this idols, society expecting them to be perfect.
I mean, that's why they're called idols, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how funny is that?
But still, when I say something and people say, oh, you know, but they make so much money and they're so popular, they have to deal with it. But that's not right.
That's not. You're
that's
still
not right.
a human. You're
exactly.
a person. So you left all of that mm-hmm. and you came to Atlanta with your husband at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Why Atlanta? Like, what brought you here?
Because of him.
Oh, was it because
of
him?
He has a brother here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he had family here.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess people migrate to the U.S. from mm-hmm. Korea because of some sort of, like, family member. And
yes.
that's where you end up being. Was this in the 90s?
1999? First time I call that runaway. like a runaway
yeah.
bride. I ran away, was in 1990, and I stayed a little bit and then back to Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I had homesick, of course, and I wanted to sing so bad, and I was so naive. I thought this everything's going to be there,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't, because I didn't have life experience,
yeah.
you know? So I thought this was like, oh, I was popular,
uh-huh.
you know, I had a lot of fans, so they may be welcoming me, but it wasn't. It was very hard,
mm-hmm.
and I always feel like that's the ask part. Actually, it fit in here. Like, I have to ask to be on a show.
Mm-hmm.
I have to ask. Before, always they call me.
Yeah.
You know, they want me to be every single show, even like children's show,
uh-huh.
to, you know.
Because you were at the peak of your fame.
Uh-huh.
But when you try to go back to
mm-hmm.
it, no one was accepting
you.
No
one. So I had to, like, oh, can you hire me for this show?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know. And then I was, so 자존심 상해,
mm-hmm.
you know, like.
자존심 상해, meaning
uh-huh.
your pride was hurt.
Uh-huh. It hurt so bad.
But it was also like a learning lesson for you.
Exactly. It was a growing pain. It turned like from 20s to 30s and 40s, and I'm heading to 50 now. And every this decade, you change.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel change, there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Change, it's got to be changed in a good way, though. So it was a growing pain for me. My teenage to my 20s were the most painful time. But I feel I don't regret anything.
Yeah.
Be honest with you.
You can't, I mean, I feel like you can't really live life with regrets.
No.
Because it's
mm-hmm.
all experiences.
Exactly.
End, right? And look at you now. You left all of that, came back to Atlanta, and decided to become a chef. That's insane, because you're going from like A to Z. Like,
I know,
especially
right?
like chef life at that point when you first started, I'm sure was very difficult, especially for a female. I know this.
I know,
because
right?
it's like almost agonizing pain. Why did you decide to cook? What made you be like, okay, I think
the biggest
that's what
reason
I wanna do.
Was I needed to stand my food. You know, I have to leave pretty much almost the same time when I decided to divorce, at the same time I decided for new career. Because I didn't want to go back to singing, because I already taste that bitterness. And I wasn't push myself to fight for that, because I already, I guess my wound didn't heal mm-hmm. enough still. How do I survive? At the time I divorced, I had to bankrupt too.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no money, broken car, and like, oh shit, what should I do? You know? And I can't work. I mean, my English was very, very poor back then. Everybody recognized me, Korean community, and I can't get a job there. And what am I supposed to do? But I know what I like to do. Because my grandmother and my mom was amazing people and amazing cook. And I always, when I was little, I always help them in the kitchen. When they're cooking, I always in the kitchen, peel the potatoes mm-hmm. or trimming 콩나물, mm-hmm. the bean sprout, and always there. And then, like, when I was, like, in middle school, I could cook all home cooking, family recipe, 된장찌개, 김치찌개, yep. whatever, 탕. But I never thought getting a job as a cook because I'm an older generation, and the older generation in Korea back then, cooks, it doesn't even feel like that's a job. It's kind of like surviving, kind of just a job, you know. It's not like...
It's not a career. It's a job.
It's just a job. And my parents were kind of shocked. Like, I was like, I want to go to culinary school. They were like, what do you mean? So I want to be a cook. And they said, like, what do you mean you want to be a cook?
They didn't understand.
Yeah. But they know how I'm very stubborn. So, okay, it's your life. And I didn't even tell them I'm going to divorce. And, you know, they find out the newspaper.
Oh, my gosh. That's
how stubborn I am, you know. I'm very quiet. And I keep all the pain as long as I can until, like,
that's
like
very
I
Korean.
Have to open.
That's
you
almost
know?
Like very Korean to do.
Right.
Yeah. So for you, cooking was almost like a survival game, not mm-hmm. only in the sense of like your life, but also to save yourself too.
I didn't have any like plan for like, oh, I want to be a Martha Stewart or anything like that. I need a job.
You need a job. Yeah.
I need a job to pay my bill. So I went to culinary school because they gave me a school loan. mm-hmm. So I started, and as soon as I started, I just find out, like, I'm good at this.
You fell in love.
And
I think as a cook, as soon as you step into that first mm-hmm. role, you either know or you don't,
mm-hmm.
if it's for you. It's like that.
Like, when we start class with the 32 people and only 6 graduated, you know, like, most of people just cut. Oh, this is not good for me. They're just all gone. And maybe 2 of my classmates still cooking, and everybody else doing something else.
You know, statistically, culinary school is still that way, where more than 85% never end up actually using their culinary degree. They either go back to their old career or change careers, but like not many people actually stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality of this industry, obviously, you know.
I think people see those only like TV personality chefs. I was different. I was like, I have to win this game. And I started school, I was like 36 and a half, you know, mm-hmm. old. My classmates like 20 years old, and I was like, oh my God, how do I survive competing with these kids after graduate? I'm maybe not going to get a job, you know. But what I did, that's my personality. I put 200%.
Yeah, you have grit.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
I put 200%. Mm-hmm. Tried to be a best student, do whatever the school offered, like volunteer opportunity or workshops, and almost 90% I attended, even being on a competition team. Because I was like, I don't have much time. These kids have plenty of time mm-hmm. to experience stars or whatever, but I don't have much time. So I got to accelerate it myself, you know?
Yeah.
So
work as much as you can, too.
But I really enjoyed it. I loved it. I was like, oh, my God, this is
it. The best? Culinary school was, like, the best. Like, so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like you almost feel alive, and it's not really for money or for fame. It's just literally you're just learning a craft.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went and worked at, like, several high-end restaurants, mm-hmm. and then that's where you met your now husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then you opened a restaurant together.
It was a magical.
So Heirloom Barbecue, uh-huh. it has won countless awards, has a line at the door every day. How did this happen when you guys decided we're going to do this American barbecue joint with like Korean flavors?
I never have like, oh, I want to do the like particular plan, especially for the Heirloom. Because back then I worked at Hotel St. Regis, and I loved my job, and I got a lot of reward, and these people like me as a cook, you know, I was so happy. And back then, my boyfriend, Cody Taylor, right now my partner.
Partner slash husband.
He was burned out. He started cooking like 15, and he's tall and athletic, and, you know, they always put him on the saute line and the grill line, and he was burned out. And he said, you know what, I want to quit, and if I have my own restaurant and I design my kitchen and my menu, then I'll do it. But if not, I'm not going to do it. So, okay, what are you going to do? And I was enjoying the life in the hotel as a hotel cook. And back then, we weren't really like serious relationship. I always wanted to get out of Atlanta. My goal was transfer to other hotel, the same umbrella, and go to other country and learning culture. And because I was just out of my marriage, and I wanted to be just free, like free woman, and I want to do whatever I want to do. I want to learn more and things. At the beginning, my brother, he always asked me, like, why don't you come back to Korea, mm-hmm. you know? And I said, no, I want to survive here, and I love to live here. So I'm going to figure it out, and I'm sure I'm going to be success in the hotel industry. And so you don't have to worry about me. But he gave me $25,000 for...
A loan, or did you ask
it?
No. Or just like...
He just gave me like, oh, you just divorced, and, you know, I just want to give you this to help you something. So if you can do something with this money, you know. But, you know, $25,000, you can make one decent bathroom in a restaurant. That's $25,000, right? So opening a restaurant with $25,000 is not a realistic number. But it was such a huge money for us, though. Cody was broke. I was broke. You know, we were completely financially not good.
But so at this point, like, you knew that you guys wanted to open a restaurant together, though.
Cody wanted a restaurant, uh-huh. but I never wanted a restaurant because I didn't like to stuck in something, some mm-hmm. one concept, or because I think I have very like a free spirit.
Yeah.
Young masal in Korean.
That's another hard word young that masal. I don't know.
You want to?
I learned two new words today.
I want to travel all the time, like change environment all the mm-hmm. time.
You're like a free spirit.
Yeah. So I didn't want the restaurant business, but he wanted, so I can, okay, I can invest you know, $25,000 if you can do something. So we found this spot was abandoned, mm-hmm. used to be Mexican restaurant. There was everything there, equipments and even like leftover food for 2 years ago.
wow.
The place, so we actually hired just one carpenter. And so it's like changing some panels, and me and Cody, we did a paintings and all that.
You built it from your hands, yeah. bare hands.
Mm-hmm. And it just by two smokers. And so we opened just like that. And I was like, okay, you do, because it's such a small restaurant. It's a 760 square for the restaurant. I thought, Cody, you get taken care of this business. It'll be better than you work for somebody else. So just
make. So it was Cody's dream, and you supported him,
yeah.
but you wanted to stay in the hotel,
uh-huh.
but ended up leaving probably because and, you know, needed help.
But the magical things happen. There's one of very popular blogger back then, Jennifer Diamond. She's a writer for the Atlanta magazine. And she had a blog, her blog a long time ago, and she wrote about us, that little small shack. And all of a sudden, we have people line. So, oh my God, what happened? And then AJC, the top writer back then, John Kessler, he came. I don't even recognize anybody, but they come, and then they send a photographer, and like, all of a sudden, like, we have line out the door, and Cody SOS me like, hey, you need to quit your job.
Literally, he was like, okay, so he was alone, like, doing that by himself, and then all of a sudden, all of this happened.
With three staff, and then he goes shopping, and, you know, and cooking and everything, and whenever I finish my task and then go to the restaurant and help him, but, like, it didn't last long. It was, like, 2 months later, we opened, and he's like, Jian, I mean, I'm really begging you. You gotta help me. So we started, like, pretty much very traditional barbecue, and then once I join and it started like Korean style.
Of course, because as Koreans, you want to make everyone around you Korean. It's like a disease almost. Like we're Korean.
Yeah. And we make something and we taste something like, oh, this is something missing. And then I put gochujang.
Exactly.
Put doenjang. And oh, this is perfect, right?
Yeah. It's like the spirit of Koreans. Wanting to Koreanify everything in sight. I'm the same way.
But the great thing about Elena, you know, Elena is a very sudden, very conservative. But some reason, especially the barbecue societies, they have very like their own. They're strong in their pride. Like
strict rules and
exactly. They have their certain thing. But we became like number one barbecue in Atlanta. We shocked everybody. Like, oh my God, I was shocked too. Like, oh my God, really? People really embrace that. Different. I think that's the great things about American culture.
Yeah.
They embrace and appreciate as a female, old, and as an immigrant with the English barrier.
But that's what made you so authentic.
But I had every time I had a chance, I mean, they give me opportunity with all those obstacles. And when they like it, like, they give me opportunity. It's amazing. That's really great thing. It makes America really great. Not Trump way.
Right? Oh, that's a whole nother thing. The real America.
Yeah, that's what happened. And
it's the American dream, and you're living it.
Exactly. I always call this magic. Magic happened. It made me feel so humble, because I know there's so many people out there, so talented, working so hard. Not everybody gets something, right? Sounds a little unfair, but I think before, you know, I was like, oh, I really hated that I was famous. If I'm not famous, I can do a lot more things in America. And I was more like complaining and blaming and for what actually I created those chaos. But I didn't really grateful for that. But now, you know, like people, especially the media, they give so much attention for heirloom, like, because it's such a unique story about this restaurant.
It's also
oh,
like
a K-pop star and a hillbilly and, you know, make some unique barbecue.
It's a beautiful story.
So that's why I feel so grateful that I have that painful experience turning to amazing experience. Mm-hmm.
A beautiful story that's authentic to you and your husband, Cody.
It seems like all meant to be, you know?
Thank you so much, Jian, for sharing your story.
That's it!
It's not it. This is maybe the best part for you because I made you something. Your favorite dish. So I made you sujebi.
Oh my God.
Wow,
it's hot too.
It's hot.
Jesus.
So sujebi, I made this dough this morning and then I hand tore it into the broth. Mm-hmm. And then I took out the dumplings or the sujebi so that it doesn't puddle. So it doesn't like expand. Yeah. So to keep the integrity of the noodles, the hand-torn noodles, I separated it and then right now just heated it up together.
Cook very smart way. Smart people actually cook really well. That's a huge difference.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh my God.
So this is kimchi sujebi.
This is perfect. The thinness. Oh. When I make it sometimes I'm like, oh, okay. Oh. I want to make it quick, but you know, sujebi is my favorite. It always reminds me of my grandmother. Mm. Oh my God. Where did you get this kimchi? Kimchi make a big difference, huh?
Oh my God.
You know, every time I eating like really like hearty food, like soul food, Korean food, somebody like young like you bring that flavor is amazed me, because cooking food is all about experience, memories.
Yeah.
To me, it's memories. The
like the palate, right? What you remember, mm-hmm. What it tastes like.
That's the
손맛.
That's the 양념. That's uh-huh. the essence, you know. So, man.
So, what do you think? Authentic enough for you?
Yeah. I know you don't have much time, and you make perfect. That's amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
The noodle is the texture is perfect, and it's gotta be thin like this. My grandmother was so picky about it. She's slicing it. It's sujebi means you hand pull uh-huh. noodle, but she made perfect dough, and then she sliced so thin, and she's very particular and make it so pretty. Even like it's supposed to be like very comfort, like almost peasant food, but she makes it so pretty. So that inspired me a lot as a cook, and
because visuals like are this. Everything, right?
And to me, the texture is really important. The size of the all this cut is so important. The thinness is so important because it's different. Example, like when you go to sushi restaurant, you order some sashimi. You have very skilled sushi chef, such a beautifully thinly, evenly slice the fish you put in your mouth, or the chunks of fish you put in your mouth, it's exactly same quality and same fish, it tastes completely different.
Yeah, depending on how you shape it, right?
So your knife skill or your hand skills are so important. And I think the Korean food is really represent all the skill and that the heart.
Yeah, like it's Korean food is a labor of love, and you really can't take any shortcuts.
Oh my God. So you make this dough in the morning, mm-hmm. and cook and separate it. But it's still so chewy.
Still very chewy? Good. That's what I was trying to achieve. I was thinking about sujebi, and mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to make it a few hours in advance, mm-hmm. because for all my guests, all the food has to be reheated because we're in a studio. And yeah. like I literally have a microwave, right? Mm-hmm. So, of course, it's important. Sujebi's, the most important part of sujebi is the texture.
Shiwane.
I achieved it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Shiwane means like refreshing or...
It's hard to explain, huh? The shiwane means?
You can't like...
It's coming up from your deep inside.
It's like a...
Oh my God.
You know what? There's so many Korean food words mm-hmm. that you just can't translate. And shiwane mm-hmm. means like refreshing almost, mm-hmm. but that's not... Exactly how you describe this.
I tried to explain to my husband many times, so he didn't get it.
Like shiwane? Like shiwane is hard. Shiwane is
hard. You mean cold? You mean what? A refresh word?
Yeah, it's a word.
It's freaking hot. Yeah. You know? It's hard to explain, but this texture is amazing. Oh my God.
I used a lot of radish for the mm-hmm. broth, so mm-hmm. that gives it that shiwane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also found mugunji at the supermarket, mm-hmm. and that's what I added. Because if I add regular kimchi, mm-hmm. usually what you buy at the supermarket mm-hmm. is not fermented. So it's not going to create the same type of broth. Mm-hmm. But I was able to find mugunji, and I was like, okay, let me add the mugunji.
Wow. It's amazing. Thank you.
Does it remind you of grandma and home?
Yeah, and also my childhood, you know, 1970s. I was born in 1970. So 70s, Korea was very poor. Mm-hmm. We were poor, but everybody was poor. For you. It wasn't really a big deal, you know. That's a lifestyle. So back then, we ate a lot of sujebi back then.
Yeah, it's like a poor man's dish.
Yeah, that's why, you know, this flavor we never get sick of it. We never tire of it. This is like you want it, especially when you feel a little sick or kind of gloomy day, rainy day. You want this.
Mm-hmm. Do you make a lot of sujebi at home?
I do. I like the texture. Uh-huh. So I like sujebi. I like tteokguk.
Uh-huh. Oh, you like a chewy texture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is amazing.
Thank you. I'm so glad.
You look happy.
I'm so happy because I'm watching you eat. And that
that's
just
the
makes
cook's mind.
It's like I'm 보기만 해도 배불러. Mm-mm. That just means just watching makes me feel full.
That's why we cook.
Like so my heart is full.
You satisfied through other people's the eating, the happiness.
Exactly.
I can't stop eating.
Please keep eating.
Oh my God.
Chef Chian, thank you so much for being here. Should I call you Chef Chian or K-pop star Chian? Where can our listeners find you and find your restaurant?
Heirloom Market Barbecue in Atlanta. Heirloom Market Barbecue ATL.
That's the handle.
That's the Instagram. Mm-hmm. And myself, Chef Chian Lee.
Chef Chian Lee. Thank you so much for being here. And that's our show. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. Get Down with K-Town is a production of iHeartRadio and was created by our executive producer, Christopher Hasiotis, and me, Esther Choi. Follow me on all social media at Choi Bites. And I'd also like to thank our producer, editor, and mixer, Marcy DePina. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.